The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
With me now for the final time as G21 CEO is Elaine Carbines. Good morning.
Good morning, Mitchell. How are you going?
Good. Well, thank you for being on the program. We've spoken most months, except a few since 2014, so I can't believe we've made it to the last one.
A long history, that's for sure. Thank you for having me on. We've appreciated the opportunity to have a really intelligent chat with you every, just about every month. And, you know, it's been useful for us and I've enjoyed it. So thank you, Mitchell.
And you've had 10 years in the position of CEO. I mean, what's changed in Geelong since 2010 to where we are today?
Well, when I first started in this role 10 years ago, our regional population was about 270,000 people. It's now in excess of 340,000 people. So growth has changed a lot over the last 10 years. We were growing at about 1.5% when I first started, and now across the region, we're growing at an average of 2.5%. So there's been a lot of growth, but fortunately, as you know, Mitchell, G21 has, I suppose, predicted that growth and done a lot of precautionary planning to really manage the growth sustainably. And our G21 region growth plan certainly anticipated growth and was precautionary. And now, of course, as the growth has accelerated, that plan is extremely useful. We've seen a lot of headwinds over the last 10 years. You and I spoke at length when we found out, of course, that Ford intended to cease its vehicle production in Geelong. Alcoa closed the smelter. The Qantas heavy maintenance fleet left, flew out of Avalon for the last time in 2014. So certainly that was a landmark year for our region. But as you know, our diversified economy, which we've all worked so hard to achieve, actually served us incredibly well during those very difficult times. And our region and Geelong really bounced back in the last few years. And I think we were doing extremely well until the pandemic hit earlier this year, and that's going to take quite a lot of effort to recover from, but I'm very confident that our community and our peak groups and our councils all working together with the help, obviously, of the state and federal governments, that we'll bounce back. Won't be immediately, but certainly I think there's a really optimistic future for this region.
Now, the state budget dropped last week, and we've been talking about it a fair bit on the program. The biggest omission was, of course, the Northern Aquatic Centre and Community Hub, and we were just sort of talking about, is it maybe something that a lot of people have been advocating for, like yourself, like the mayor and councillors, former MPs, but maybe out there it's just not as big a vote winner as we think. Otherwise, wouldn't the state government have funded it?
It's a matter as a vote winner. It's actually needed. That community doesn't have the resources that other community has. So, for example, this morning I was out at Leisurelink, fabulous gym, aquatic facility, library, of course, in the seat of South Barwon. But we don't seem to be able to get to square one with investment from the state and federal governments into a similar type of facility for the northern suburbs. I think it's really disappointing. That's, you know, the least I can say, to continually be advocating for this much needed project and for it not to be not to see any investment at the state or federal level. You know, we've followed every piece of advice that MPs have given. I know the council has, and it remains a real disappointment at the end of my 10 years to not to see that funding secured for a community that vitally needs facilities that are taken for granted in other parts of our region.
I mean, there was a bit of a war of words that broke out between the states and the local government. John Aaron speaking about the local government, suggesting more should have been done, maybe more of a business case, I don't know, making it shovel ready. Do you think that it was a bit deficient in that space and that's why it didn't get funded?
Look, I don't know. Only the state government itself knows the reasons why it wasn't funded in this round. Similarly to the federal government, when the council applied for Building Better Regions funds money for the Northern Aquatic and Community Hub, we don't know the reason. That was the reason that we were told. But in reality, Mitchell, as you would appreciate, there are many projects in this region that are funded regardless of business cases. The Geelong Convention and Exhibition Centre, I think, is on its third business case at the moment, and we've got $171 million next to that commitment. So, it's difficult to understand why it's not been funded. I'm told by the council that they've done all of that work, that it is shovel ready. So where does the truth lie? It doesn't matter. The reality is that it's not been funded, and I'm hoping we'll see that in the future. There's another opportunity in May for the May state budget and, of course, the federal budget as well. It would be fantastic to see this much-needed project actually given the support it deserves and the community deserve next year.
Yeah, I mean, it was disappointing, but moving along, there are other aspects of the budget that were quite positive and do give us some hope. What were some of the highlights of the state budget announcements from your point of view?
Well, we need to, whilst we can be critical about the Northern Aquatic and Community Hub, this was a really landmark state budget in terms of infrastructure investment, particularly in relation to transport. So if we think about the faster rail that's being proposed by the state government, it was wonderful to see the $2 billion committed to match the federal government's $2 billion. That's a sizable chunk of money in anyone's estimation. So, we look forward to seeing that project progress. We were pleased to see money included for the duplication of the track from South Geelong to Warren Ponds. This has been a project that's been sorely needed. I live in the southern suburbs of Geelong, and we don't have the same train service that the people from Geelong into Melbourne have. We only have a 40-minute frequency at the moment. This track is needed to turn that around to 10-minute peak and 20-minute off peak. So great to see that. Great to see foreshadowed upgrades to Corio, North Shore and Lara stations. Also as part of that, roads, we've talked endlessly about Barwon Heads Road and how it was once a goat track, really, from Geelong to the little Barwon Heads coastal hamlet. Well, Barwon Heads is much bigger now than it ever used to be, but in between Geelong and Barwon Heads, we've got this massive urban growth zone called Armstrong Creek, and the usage of that road is enormous every day. If you've ever travelled on it, it's a real bottleneck. So great to see that additional money. Wonderful to see sizable money for the Great Ocean Road and to set up the new Great Ocean Road Coast and Parks Authority. GMHBA Stadium, final $40 million, Mitchell. That should see that project finally off our books. It's been almost a 20-year project to redevelop the Cadinia Park Stadium. So, it will be good to finally clear the slate there. Number of schools redevelop money, which is great. And I was especially pleased to see just over $15 million for Northern Bay College. You may not know, but I used to teach at that school in the late 1990s, and that's been an outstanding, funding need for Northern Bay College. So I was pleased to see that, as I was the Anamkara House, $5 million. But I suppose the biggest influencer in relation to social change in our region is going to be this our share of the social housing money that the state government committed, $5.3 billion across the state, and our region will get over $200 million out of that. And we know there's a lot of unmet need in our region in relation to social housing. So that was a big winner. And at G21, we're undertaking a social housing strategy with our five councils, building on the great work that the city has already done. And so we will be in the box position to take advantage of that wonderful investment from next year. So, you know, really great budget on many levels, disappointing about the Northern Aquatic and Community Hub, and also disappointing about the lack of funding to upgrade the roads around the Geelong port. Because if you remember, Mitchell, the Spirit of Tasmania is going to be docking at Geelong port in less than 2 years' time. So that's going to bring hundreds of cars in and out of the port every day, plus freight that goes. Remember that Spirit of Tasmania is part of the National Highway to Tasmania and back again. So I know that our local community will want to see those roads upgraded so that there isn't the traffic congestion and the, I suppose, the impact on local residences around the port. So hopefully we will see something in the May budget about that.
Because I think that was the complaint about them docking at Port Melbourne in part, was it was very congested and people get off the ferry there and those roads aren't particularly high capacity. So hopefully that can be addressed so that you're not just moving the problem from one place to another.
That's true. Good point.
Now, the G21 Stakeholder Forum is coming up this Friday and it's a bit different this year compared to previous years.
Yes, and you'll be joining us, Mitchell, which I'm really pleased about, as always, every year. It's a must-do event on the calendar for our region. We've had to really change our format this year into a virtual format. So it's going to be going live from 9:30 on Friday morning. It's a short, sharp forum. It only goes for 2 hours. Normally, as you know, we're the whole day at the RACV Resort in Torquay. So our this is a short, sharp forum. It's free of charge, and if you wish to go, please go onto the G21 website, www.g21.com, and you can register to attend that event. Amazing speaker, Stan Grant, is our headline speaker, and I had the pleasure of a 20-minute conversation with Stan last Friday about his experiences and particularly this year and his reflections on the changes to our society that COVID has brought across the world. So he's going to be fascinating. He's promised to be a little bit provocative, so that should be really interesting. Very, very pleased to have the Wadawurrung traditional owners speaking about their Healthy Country Plan. We're going to be having a presentation from the Premier and the State Opposition Leader, their pre-recorded presentations. Really grateful. Normally we have the Premier at least in attendance at our forum, but grateful that both he and Michael O'Brien have pre-recording messages for our community. Our sponsor for Stan Grant is Urbis, who are new operators in our region, and they've got this amazing presentation called Mission Fit G21, and they've been analysing how we are performing as a city and a region against the performance of other cities and regions in the country. So it'll be really interesting to hear that. Great panel discussion between Ian Martin, our Vice-Chancellor at Deakin, Joel McGuinness from the Geelong Arts Centre, and Felicia Mariani, who's the CEO of the Victorian Tourism Industry Council, about impact of COVID on their industry, what they've done to survive and how they see the future. I've invited Daryl Pelkin, who's the proponent of the Cape Otway Road Australia development, which has achieved planning approval out at Motawarri. They've made a really exciting video about the project, and I'll be speaking about the year that has been for G21 and what we've done this year. And finally, there'll be a concluding session of remarks from our new chair of G21, Councillor Stephanie Asher, the mayor of the City of Greater Geelong. So it'll be a great morning. So please, it's not too late to register. So please get online and book your ticket. We've got, I think at last count, about 420 people. Wow. Registered, which is huge, and I think we'll have even more by Friday. So that's a record for G21. Normally we can only house about 300. So, yeah, very big morning, and I'm absolutely looking forward to it, and I hope you are too, Mitchell.
Oh, absolutely, and looking forward to broadcasting it so people, if they can't register or can't be near a video device for whatever reason, can just tune into the Pulse, and we'll be covering it all live.
And I know many do. I've often heard of people who've listened to your live streaming of the event. So, yeah, it'll be a great morning. So I look forward to seeing you then.
And this is the end of your time on this station as CEO of the G21. Maybe you'll come back on in the future and sort of a commentating role. But what's next for you? What do you do after this role wraps up?
That's a good question. I haven't actually determined where I'm going to place my efforts next. I'm on a couple of boards. I'm deputy chair of Balm Water and deputy chair of G-Force Employment Solutions. Plus, I'm on AWA bank board, looking for, thinking about where I'm going to place my efforts. I have a great, social justice value system, and I'll probably pop up somewhere in that sphere. That's where my heart lies. So, we'll see. But I'm intending to have a bit of a break, actually. Mitchell, this is a very demanding job at G21. It's intense. There's a lot of relationships you have to foster and keep well and nurture. And I've enjoyed doing that over the last 10 years. I've probably... it's certainly a very different organisation from when I took it over 10 years ago. I'm very proud of everything that's been done. But it's time for a new person to step in and build on the very strong foundation now that is G21.
Well, all the best with it. Please stay in touch, and we look forward to seeing what the next chapter holds, and, of course, can't wait till Friday.
Thanks so much, Mitchell. I'll see you then.
Good on you. Now. Thank you very much. Elaine Carbine's joining us there. The CEO, outgoing CEO of the G21, was to finish up earlier this year, but once COVID hit, decided to extend it out.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.